Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Hi there, my dear brothers and sisters all over the planet. Welcome to part 6 of our series, The Way, The Truth and The Life. Or to say it more simply, this is the story of true meaning of life. Before I proceed further on in our story, I would like to stop a little bit for a while and mention a few events which happened in those beginnings of mine in faith. So in the very beginning, I think it was the very first month of my entrance in Christian faith, there was a birthday party at Vlasta's studio. I think I mentioned my friend, artist Vlasta, who had a big studio in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. So he was giving his birthday party. It was a really great party, and there was a live music. There was a music band, rock and roll band, and it was very loud, and there was a lot of people. I think at least 300 people gathered over there, mostly more or less young people, artists, or people from that kind of world, of that kind of profession, and people who were friends of his friends, artists. So it was kind of a very in company, and it was like a real New York whole night party, and it was full of everything: noise, alcohol, drugs, beautiful looking young girls, young men dressed in very modern suits, and all those crazy, weird freaks from Lower East Side, New York, and people like that, similar like that. So in the beginning, it was like any other party to me. I was feeling okay, you know, but at that time, I still didn't start with the Jesus prayer yet. It was still my first type of prayer. It was just, Lord God, help me. So I tasted already the influence, the impact of this prayer, and I felt really good in my heart. It was like a healing that I was feeling all the time, happening through repeating of this prayer. And I continued to repeat this prayer even in that party. And before, when I was a regular young man from New York, before my conversion to the faith, I would feel really like jumping and dancing and laughing, yelling and smoking grass, of course, drinking. I was not very hard drinker ever, but I used to like to smoke marijuana a lot. And so it would be a regular party to me. But now it started to be different. It showed different to me. How different? Different in a way that somewhere around midnight, I came there a lot, maybe it was like 10:30 or 11, close to 11. In about 1 hour since I came, all of a sudden I started to feel some kind of pressure, and it started to bother me, this noise, this smoke all over it was so stuffed with smoke, you know, you couldn't breathe so easily, and everybody was crazy and running all around and laughing like a mad, and all of a sudden I started, you know, I was talking to myself and saying, what am I doing here? What is this all about? What is this going on here? I do not belong here anymore. I do not belong to such places and to such events anymore. But I was fighting. I thought maybe this is just it was just pretending to me. I was not sure. Was it a real feeling or just, I don't know, maybe influence of although I didn't smoke pot at that time. I was straight. I was clear-minded. I was drinking Coke, and but I thought maybe because I was tired or something. And after maybe 20 minutes more, since I started to feel this heaviness, all of a sudden my heart started to raise a feeling of warmness in my heart. Warmness and very great pleasure, in contrast with this feeling of pressure and being burdened with all the noise and tumult of the party. And my heart started to burn, and this flame continued to overflow my whole body, especially the chest, and it started to lift up into my head. And it was really, like, I have to admit, very, very beautiful feeling, but very intense, very strong. And I have realized that something really a special and not that common thing was happening to me. And all of a sudden, I had a great need quickly to leave this place and to be only with this spirit that came to me. And it was so important to me in that moment that I couldn't waste my time being there anymore. So there was a friend of mine, Ninoslav, who I mentioned before, who helped me with religious books. And he realized that something is happening with me, strange. And so he approached me and he said, what's going on? What's wrong with you? I said, well, nothing is wrong with me. It's wrong with this place, you know, and this whole mess. And he said, what do you mean? I mean, it's a great party. I said, maybe it is, but I have to leave. I have to leave right away, this moment, this second. And he said, what's going on? You're going crazy? What's wrong with you? I said, nothing, you know. I just have to go. Please forgive me, and we'll see. We'll talk to each other tomorrow. And so I left. And this burning was growing in me more and more. So I went down, went into my van, and started to drive towards my home. I was still living with Gigi in Upper West Side. And as I was driving, it was like completely different. I was accepting the reality in a completely different way than ever before. I was holding my steering wheel, I was driving, looking in front of me, but at the same time I was like in some other dimension, and my chest was burning, my hands were burning, my face, my forehead, my eyes, they were all burning, my head was burning, but it was not unpleasant, it was to the contrary, extremely pleasant. It was like feeling like being immortal, feeling like some kind of everlasting flame, something that I felt that this is going to be similar like when I die. You just take off your body, but your soul stays alive forever. So I was driving, half being there and half being somewhere else. I cannot explain where, but it was very serene. It was extremely peaceful in myself. I could drive like this for hours. Everything was so peaceful. Everything was so silent. I didn't hear the noise and sirens and trumpets and noise of the cars all over, because I think it was Saturday night, and you can imagine Saturday night evening in Manhattan. It was really crazy all over. But I was like covered. I was protected. So finally, I drove to my home. I went up, and so I tried to fall asleep, but I couldn't sleep. I was laying there, and now my whole body was wrapped in some very extremely pleasant flame, and this flame was burning me, but giving me life, cleaning me. This flame was life-giving and cleansing flame. So I think that I was in some state of half being awake, half being asleep. And I think I was glowing like this until the morning. And next day I understood that it is one more of those very mysterious feelings that this small prayer produced, because it was definitely in tight connection with this constant repeating of invoking, Lord God, help me. And it really confirmed me to continue being with living God, and confirming in really proceeding in prayer that I have already started not that long time ago. There was another event that I would like to mention, but before I proceed, I'm sure that many of you who are listening to this are going to say, this guy is really crazy, he's really talking nonsense, and it's not worthy of continuing to listen to this. But I have to tell you, maybe I was kind of mad in those times, but it was, as I mentioned, really a great madness, really a most beautiful state of mind that I have been in since my childhood, because when we are children, we really feel this joy of life and peacefulness and happiness. So these feelings were like a time machine bringing me back into my worryless childhood. And why I'm talking all these details and explaining all these details that can really look like, that's not really serious, you know, and somebody will say, this guy is lunatic. What I'm trying to say is to explain that I was really fighting for my existence. I was really fighting for life. And I was on the verge of suicide in New York. But I was not schizophrenic. I was like a regular young man from Belgrade or from New York or from Tokyo or from who knows where. But a young man from the city, a city life young man. And many years later, I have realized that I'm actually practicing and I'm trying to follow so-called Orthodox Christian existentialism. This is the course of my life. This is the philosophy of my life. Orthodox Christian existentialism. Because those philosophical systems that belong to past, Hegel, Kant, Fichte, Schelling, and many other, those great, immense systems, they are dead. They belong to the past, to far past. Now, in the end of 20th and the beginning of 21st century, we need to survive. We need survival. And from Friedrich Nietzsche on, Søren Kierkegaard, Dostoevsky, Jean-Paul Sartre, and many other contemporary philosophers, they were actually practicing and they were following so-called existentialism. But this existentialism was always like, they would always come to the point of hopelessness, of despair, because they couldn't find the exit. And the exit is there where it always was. And the exit is the creator of the universe himself, the very Lord of the universe, incarnate Son of Lord, Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the Orthodox Christian existentialism goes deeply into the problem of today's world, but it has an answer, it has an exit, but I'll talk about this later on. So second thing that happened to me was, as I mentioned, I quit smoking cigarettes, but I was still smoking pot, marijuana. And well, it was a period when I have already left the common living with my ex-partner Gigi, and I moved into my new flat in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, Brooklyn. So it was beautiful to me there. I was praying, I was by myself. It was never boring to me. And since I kept my van and I have given the whole store with everything that was in to my friend Gigi, so I was still working small moving jobs with my van. And I used to know a carpenter, a friend of mine, Joe, American-Italian. He was a very nice guy. He was a good carpenter and he had a lot of customers. And he used to call me very often to help him to, from his workshop, to move and to drive the cabinets and all the woodwork that he used to work for his customers. So once he called me, and it was summertime, he used to live in Tribeca. Tribeca is a southern part of Manhattan, very very nice part, very civilized part, nice part for living, without too many bumps and homeless, you know, and some kind of, you know, freaks and these kind of people. And it was a nice and decent place, as much as it is possible, of course, in Manhattan, because more or less it's everywhere, it's crazy, but okay, Tribeca was one of the decent places of Manhattan. So I parked my van in a regular parking place and I went upstairs to Joe's workshop. He used to live there. It was a big loft. One part was his apartment and another part was his workshop, carpenter workshop. And of course, he was a marijuana smoker and a really hard one. I was always wondering how is he able to do such a good work, you know, and smoking so much, but well, who knows, for how long this could last. Anyway, I was up there, so we went back from one job, and he called me up there for, you know, for Coke and a cup of ice cream. So I went there, and we sat there for a while, and then when I ate my ice cream, I said, well, Joe, my friend, I have to go now, we'll be in touch, you know, I'll talk to you later. Call me whenever you need me, and goodbye. He said, okay, goodbye. I went down, and so when I went down the street, so from the distance, in one moment, it looked like I cannot see my dark blue Dodge van. But I said to myself, well, maybe it is, you know, covered with some truck or something like this. But something, some coldness came into my heart. Because as I was proceeding, as I was getting closer, I was realizing there is no van. So I started to walk faster, and to my great disappointment, when I came to the very place where it was parked, there was no my van. It vanished. And I was like a struck with a thunder. What the hell happened here? I parked it well. This was a time when it was, you know, permitted to be parked there. Everything was fine. It was middle of the day. And my last hope was that the traffic police took up my van and drove it to the that place up there on the Upper West Side, on the right by the Hudson River. There was a great lot where they were pulling and leaving the cars that which were not parked well. So I ran up there. I went down the subway. So I was really sweating all the time, hoping that I will find my van. But to my extreme disappointment and really a great, I don't know what to say, really fear what's going to happen with me right now, my van was not there. So finally I have realized that it was stolen. My van was stolen, and I have to say that when I left my partnership with Gigi and moved to this new apartment, I was basically broke, because I had to give my first rent, but then I had to give also two more rents as a down payment. It was that kind of, it was usual. So I was basically broke. And when this happened to me, when my van was stolen, it was terrible to me, you know. It was like I'm really, I don't know what to do right now. I thought now I'm completely ruined, because I don't know how to make money, and I don't know from whom could I borrow some money. And so I was like very, 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 I was struck with the whole event, and I just didn't know what to do and where to go. I was all wet from sweat, and my it was ringing in my ears, and my head was, I had a really, all of a sudden, great headache. And I just started to walk, I don't know where, like a madman, like a zombie, being sure that now I'm not going to manage to save myself anymore. I'm broke and I'm ruined, and I don't know what to do. I went towards downtown by walk. I just had to walk to calm down a little bit, to come to my senses. And then, in a very special, subtle moment, there was a thought coming to my mind, saying, now you are in a very dangerous position. You are going to get killed by the cars. You see how you are going through the streets, not watching left and right. You are really in a very heavy situation right now. Now you better light one cigarette and smoke, and you will calm down with a cigarette. But don't worry, God will forgive you. Now you have managed to quit cigarettes, so after this happening, you will quit it again. But now you have to smoke a cigarette, because otherwise you are going to get crazy. So cigarette will calm you down the best way. And I was trying to refuse and to fight with this thought, saying to myself, but no, I don't want to smoke again. I was so grateful to the God who helped me to quit smoking, because I was smoking for more than 10 years, and I was always trying to quit smoking, but I was not able to do that. And now, with the help of prayer and the help of the Lord, I managed to quit smoking. Now I don't want to start smoking, but this thought was so intense, and it was so hard and heavy, and finally I couldn't resist anymore, so I just went straight towards one of those grocery stores to buy a pack of cigarettes. And before I really entered, I made a great effort, and I said to myself, no, I'm not going to buy cigarettes, I'm not going to smoke, I will never smoke again, no matter what happens to me. And this moment, when I managed to break this influence from the spiritual world, from the darkness, from the spiritual darkness, and it was definitely a voice of a demon who was always with me, waiting for such a critical moment to approach and to make me fall down again. And when I managed to say no and to refuse this, I continued my walk towards downtown. But very soon after this victory, I could say, I started to feel better. I started to feel like the light is coming to my mind again. And this anxiety was fading away, and I came to my senses, and I have realized that it was only a very great temptation, and that I have managed, because I was praying all the time, I was praying all the time, God help me, God help me, now I'm lost, God help me, do not leave me now. It is, I really feel scared. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm only a small boy in this immense, huge city. What is going to happen to me? My parents are far away. My homeland is far away. Lord, please do not leave me. Be my parent, be my father this moment. So thinking like this and praying like this, I finally completely restored my good feeling. And I have realized that God helped me to conquer this attack from the evil spirit. And I have realized that this was one of first temptations that always come to those who are entering the spiritual life, who are entering living in faith, being together with God. Because it is like a spiritual law. Whenever you really with open heart enter and give yourself to the Lord and start your spiritual life, your conversion into Christianity, into the Orthodox Christianity, the evil spirits are attacking you in those first days and first months, trying to change your mind, trying to scare you and to make you coward, just to stop you from this direction that you are actually started your way, started your life. And then finally I reached Lower East Side, and from one window, it was a Ukrainian restaurant, from the window I saw my friend Ninoslav sitting there with his roommate, I think his name was Duya, and they were eating some kind of Ukrainian specialty called pirozhki or something like this. So I went in, and they were surprised. Oh, where are you? Where are you coming from? And I sat there, and I said, well, you know, my van, it was just stolen maybe 2 hours ago. But, you know, what can I do? And they were looking at me, they were staring at me, and they knew what that van meant to me and how it was important to me in that moment of my life. And they were really like astonished. What are you talking? Is it really stolen? But how can you be so peaceful? I said, well, I don't know. I suppose God helped me. And one more thing, which is even more important to me, I didn't continue to smoke. I'm not smoking. And they were looking at me like, what is he talking about? He's not smoking, and he doesn't want to smoke. His van was stolen. But they didn't know actually what was my struggle, what was my combat with this passion of smoking. So I told them, well, guys, I want to say goodbye to you. I have to go home to gather myself and to rest a little bit. And they said, okay, see you later. So I went down to Subway and went under the East River, and I found myself in my apartment. Then I locked my door behind me, and then the first, how should I say, euphoria passed, and then I found myself in a very, very, very dangerous and very critical position. I have realized I don't have money, I don't have my van, I don't know what to do. So I found myself in a really danger, in a great danger. So I started to pray. I started to pray very hard, very intensely. And for about, I think, 2 nights and 3 days, I didn't leave my apartment. I was just eating a little bit, sleeping a little bit, and praying almost all the time. It was like an ascetical feat. Not eating, not drinking, not sleeping, but just praying. And I said, God, now or never, please help me. I don't know what to do. Now I'm in your hands. Everything is collapsing. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And I was really praying intensely. I had a hope God would help me. But at the same time, I thought, maybe it was all illusion. Maybe I was just deluded. And then the third day in the morning, the telephone rang, and I took up the phone, and there was a voice from my very good friend. His name was Marko Gosar. My friend Marko was a Slovenian guy, former Yugoslavian Republic of Slovenia. He was a very nice guy, extremely nice, very civilized person. He was an artist, and we used to work together a few times. As a matter of fact, I used to work for him, because he was very well into the decorative painting business. He had a small company and he used to work for big decorative companies. And he used to make a pretty good income. And he called me without my expectation. As a matter of fact, I completely forgot on him. But then he told me, "Atsa, hi, how are you?" I said, "Well, I hope it will be better, my friend Marco. What's up with you?" He said, "Well, Atsa," it was a nickname for Alexander. It was my nickname. He said, "Atsa, you know, there was a great new business, great new job in Dakota Building. It's one of the most renowned residential buildings in Manhattan where John Lennon used to live." He said, "Well, there was a great, very important and big job in apartment. The owner of the apartment is one of the directors of the Fiat automobile company from Italy. And I need a good artist for that job. And I know that you are a pretty good artist. And please, can you come and work with me on this job? It would be very important for me if you can come." I have to admit, I couldn't believe that what is happening at that moment. Because with this call, all my problems were solved. Because I knew that he was working really for good, for very rich people. And I said, "Marco, you don't know, you saved my life." I mean, in this moment, I was really ready to go out on the street and just become one of the beggars, one of the homeless, because I didn't know what to do. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. And he said, "Well, perfect." And then, what can I say? I was absolutely saved. Because from that day on, I used to work with Marco for more than a month. And I had a really good salary. It was like $800 a week without tax, because he was paying me cash, and also he was giving me some kind of he would grant me every week, for it was like a bonus, how you call this in English, it was like a gift for a professional attitude, he used to call it this way, and he would give me extra $200. He was an incredible person. I must admit, I'm Serbian and I used to live there, but of course I love my nation. And I met a lot of good Serbs, but I have to admit, two persons that helped me the most in New York City. It was a Slovenian guy, Marco, and it was a Bosnian Muslim called Esad. Those two persons helped me really a lot in New York City, and may God give them all the best in their lives. I don't know, of course, what happened with them, but those were really, really very, very good people. So I was saved. And more than that, with the salary that I was making and that I was receiving from Marco, I managed to buy new van. So after 1 month, I became also independent again, because I didn't want to work for him anymore, because I could make enough money with my small moving jobs and doing small art jobs, you know, restoring the furniture, doing some paintings, selling some painting, because it was, I used to manage to make this kind of living. So being employed regularly to somebody in some company, it was very hard to me to continue with my prayer and with my reading of spiritual books. So I really thanked. I was very grateful, and I said, now, Brother Marco, I really have to, go back to my business. I cannot work for you anymore, but really thank you. Really thank you, because you saved me at that critical moment in my life. But of course, I know that God saved me. And at that moment, I have realized that the Lord, the living God, is really acting on every level of our life. Not only in a very lofty spiritual levels, talking about the paradise and life after death. No, the Lord works on every level, even in such a low level, and helping you in these everyday situations. God really helped me, and He showed me that from that day and from those days on, I have to stick to Him and everything will be good. And then, not long time after that event, I remember I was sitting in my home, and I have to mention that I was still smoking marijuana, and I couldn't really quit marijuana, and it was really giving me a hard time, and I was really sad and mad on me that I'm so weak. And one night I was sitting at my home and reading David's Psalms. I was reading Psalter, and it was very, very, very important to me, reading Psalter. And after, let's say, maybe half an hour of reading, all of a sudden I started to feel that something is lifting me up, if I can explain this, because those feelings, those happenings, those spiritual events are very hard to explain with these human words, with this human mouth of mine. But I will try. All of a sudden, it started to look like being stoned on marijuana, if I can express myself this way, which looks like a very pleasant feeling, like being warm in yourself, being lifted up, being happy, joyful, without worries, without heavy thoughts, very peaceful, very elevated, I can say this way. But this time, I was surprised, because I didn't smoke for more than a week. And if I can say, I was absolutely clean from marijuana. But this feeling came to me all of a sudden. And more than that, it was growing more and more, more and more. And at one moment, I almost left my body, whatever it was. I left my room. I didn't feel the chair underneath myself anymore. I didn't feel my room. I was just lifted up somewhere above, in some space above my apartment, my building. And I was somewhere up in the space, in spiritual realm. And it was so beautiful. It was so serene. It was so clear, like a crystal clear, everything around me. Of course, I didn't see things and buildings, but it was so crystal clear all over me, and complete serenity in my mind and in my heart. And in that moment, I heard a voice, of course, not with my physical ears, but I heard a voice in my mind, which was telling me. And this voice was very nice and very, very subtle, very calm, and I can say very beautiful, in completely opposite to that voice which was so intense and that was so scary and so with such a great pressure. That voice that was telling me, now light a cigarette when my van was stolen. And this voice now was telling me, you see this feeling, you see how highly the Lord, the living God, the creator of the universe, can elevate you? Do you see how high you can be only with prayer, without any chemical substance? Do you see this? So if you see, if you understand, leave that garbage. Do not smoke anything. Do not take any chemical consolation anymore in your life. Because you see, if you are with the Lord, this is only the beginning what will happen to you. And when this voice finished, slowly, without noticing, I came down to my apartment, and all of a sudden I realized myself sitting on my chair in front of my table with David's Psalms in my hands, and I was so astonished. I was so pleasantly surprised where I was. I was not definitely in my apartment, in my body, or out of my body. I don't know. God knows. And not long time after that, I have mentioned this in a previous lecture, I went to visit my friend Vlasta, and when he offered me a joint of marijuana, I just refused, because I have remembered where I was and what was told to me by this voice. Leave this garbage and be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And of course, it is a sentence from the Gospel. And of course, I can never be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. But it is like a direction in which I understood I have to go, in direction of perfection, of spiritual perfection, of purity of life. Do not take anything anymore which this world gives you. Just consume God. Take God. Drink God. Eat God. Whatever. But just let it be the Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And if I remember well, during that beautiful evening, that holy evening, if I can say, definitely I have become a Christian. And I think that the idea of becoming monk, it was conceived at that holy evening. And then, from that evening on, it was growing more and more as a seed of wheat in my heart. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. And the last thing that I will mention for this time, it was my first confession. Before that, I have never confessed in my life. And of course, I didn't really know actually what the confession is, basically. Of course, in the meantime, from those books that my friend Ninoslav gave me, I have realized that the confession is something extremely important. Because through confession, you empty your soul. You empty it from all those covers of sin. And that really, without confession, without deep, sincere confession, you cannot heal your soul. You cannot find a real purity in your life. But of course, I didn't know where to confess, how to confess, to whom. Because I was still not going to the cathedral, Orthodox Christian cathedral, called the Cathedral Protection of the Holy Virgin, which was in Lower East Side. But in those days, I have noticed there was an old man, very old man, completely white-haired, not even gray, but completely white as a swan. And he looked to me as an Orthodox priest. But I didn't know what is he doing there in this Puerto Rican neighborhood, and very, very old. I think it was close to 90. But he was walking around, and he looked like a healthy old man. And it was on my way towards the grocery store where I used to buy, milk and bread and food for me, vegetables and fruits and things like this. I have realized there was a mission place, missionary place, some kind of church. But it was in one of those spaces that it used to be a grocery store. So now somebody have changed this, and it was a church. But of course, it was nothing very surprisingly to me, because in New York you can see very often everywhere some kind of churches, Church of God, Church of this, Church of that. Many of those Protestant churches, God knows which churches, because there is so many of them, and they would be, in buildings, in regular buildings. They were not churches that I'm used to in my country, that you from far away you see it's a church, and it was written above the door. It was written Orthodox Catholic Christian Church, and I said to myself, what kind of church is this? Orthodox and Catholic? That's impossible. But then I understood later on that the Catholic in Greek means universal. So it was like a Orthodox Universal Christian Church. And as a matter of fact, it was really an Orthodox Christian Church. And this man was a priest over there. And once, when I was passing by, I seen that the doors were open. And in the very entrance of this small church, this nice-looking, cute-looking old man was standing there. So I stopped, and I told him a good morning. He said, good morning, my child. And I have realized that he was talking in a British accent. And I was surprised, because I didn't really know who is he. And then we started conversation, and I asked him, what kind of church is this? Because is this an Orthodox Christian church, or it is a Roman Catholic church, or it is something third? I don't know. He said, no, my child, it is an Orthodox Christian church. And I said, but who are you? And I said, I'm a priest here. And then, of course, I have realized that he's an Englishman. And I said, father, but where are you from? I mean, where are you coming from? And he said, I'm an Englishman. I was surprised, because in those days I thought that the Orthodox Christians, and basically the Orthodox priests, are only Greeks or Russians or Romanians or Serbs. I didn't know that an Englishman can be an Orthodox priest. And I said, well, are you really an Englishman? His name was Father Joseph. So after first surprise, I told him, Father Joseph, are you really an Englishman? And he was very cute. He stood straight. He raised his right arm, hand, and he said, of course I'm in English. God save the Queen. And it was so cute to me. And of course he was making joke of the whole thing, but definitely he was an Englishman, and it was so interesting to me. And then I understood that he opened a small missionary place over there, and he was actually a higher monk. He was not a civilian priest, if I can say this way. He was not a married priest, because in Orthodox Christian Church, priests are married. But he was a monk priest, because we in Orthodox Christian monastic way of living, we have simple monks. I'm a simple monk. And we have also monks who are priests in the same time. And they're called in a Greek a higher monk or priest monk. So they can serve Holy Liturgy. They can commune people. And then I had decided that this old man is a perfect person that I can confess to, because he looked so confident. He looked so warm and nice and full of love. He was really like a, you know, Santa Claus to me. So sweet and so nice old man. And with this beautiful smile on his face. And his face was like a face of a child. He was, he had this blush on his cheeks. And he told me, I asked him, Father Joseph, I have never confessed in my life, and I don't even remember if I communed. Most likely I have communed when I was a little child, but it was like more than 20, let's say 4, at least 23 or 24 years ago, when I was maybe 6 years old and things like this, 5 years old. And he said, of course, you can confess here, I can confess you, I can be your confessor. And I said, well, okay, and can I commune after that? He said, of course, you can after that commune. And so I have to say that my first communion was actually in this small mission church, and but only after that I communed in the cathedral where I started to attend. So in the previous lecture, I made a little mistake, because I told my first communion was there. No, my first communion was there in this small missionary place, that it was in Axe grocery store in a Puerto Rican neighborhood in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, with a English priest monk, Father Joseph. It was, I think, Thursday, and the next Holy Liturgy was next Sunday. So I went back my home, and I started to prepare slowly for my first confession. And I was thinking, what I'm going to say? I mean, my heart and my whole being is so filled with dirt, with a sinful mud and with stink and with stench of all those sins and all these things that I used to do in my life. And how I'm going to say this? And I was thinking this way, but I said, no, I have to confess. I have to start with my first confession. So I remember this early Sunday morning. I have taken a shower, I shaved myself, and as I was shaving, again, there was a mental attack, if I can say this way. All of a sudden, those thoughts are starting to come to me. There was a voice, but very, very unpleasant voice, telling to me, what is this that you came up with? Are you really going to say all those terrible and ugly and stinking things to this nice old man? Are you really going to scandalize him this way? What is this happening to you? I mean, you're a civilized man, you're an intellectual. What is it all about? You're going there to say all those intimacy of yours to this old man. It's stupid. It's not civilized. You can confess if you want to confess. You can say to your God, whatever you want in your apartment, but just do not scandalize this old man. Just do not do this. And it was so intense. It was bombing myself. It was blowing. It was giving me blows and hits in my heart and in my mind. As I was shaving, I became sweaty again. I was sweating, but I just taken shower, 15 minutes before that. But I said, no, I have to go to confession. And I was so confused. I was so, I really didn't feel good. So I went there. There was an altar boy. He ordained him a subdeacon Father Joseph ordained him subdeacon. It was a very nice Puerto Rican boy, and he was preparing him to clergy, to become a deacon and to become a priest one day. And he was there, and maybe there was nobody else. It was still early in the morning, before the liturgy. He was preparing the holy bread and the wine. It is called in Greek proskomedia. So I entered the church, and I went there, and he was doing proskomedia, praying for repose and for the living. And I said, Father Joseph, I came, here I am. Can you confess me? And he said, of course, my child, come. So he took me behind. There was a small room behind. It was a room for confessions. And I remember well. I will never forget this, that morning. It was one of the most important mornings in my life. I went there. I came down to my knees. And he put this kind of... it's a part of priestly vestment that priests are wearing above their neck, and it's falling down on their chest. He put this on my head. I kneeled down in front of him. He opened the prayer book, and he read the introductory prayers, and then he told me, okay, my child, I'm listening to you. And as he was reading those first prayers, I was there kneeling, and everything was buzzing in my mind. I was so confused. Everything was messed up in my mind. I forgot everything that I prepared and that I planned to tell to Father Joseph in confession. And I was just completely stuck. I was locked in my mind. I was locked in my confusion. And of course, I was also feeling very unpleasant. I was sweating, and I didn't know finally what to tell him. And I was really very, very disturbed. And I was on the verge to stop everything and just ran out of the church. But then he said, all right, my child, I'm listening to you. And at that moment, I remember I just opened my mouth, planning to say something. And then, without saying anything, I started to cry. I started to weep, and I couldn't utter anything. I couldn't pronounce anything. I was just crying and sobbing and crying and trembling, and the tears were coming out of my eyes, and I was just, I didn't know what was happening to me, but this weeping was so good to me. I was shaking and I was trembling and I was crying, but I was feeling that something terribly burdensome was coming out of me. And I think I was crying non-stop, without stopping, for more than 15 minutes, maybe even 20 minutes, only crying. I think that the floor was completely wet from my saliva and my tears that were coming out of me without control, without stopping. And he was patting me with his hand on my head, and he was just saying, okay, good, okay, it's good, good, my child, don't worry, everything is okay, my child. I think even he was crying with me, and it was so touching. It was, I was so completely broken after this. Then finally I managed to stop. I didn't utter even one word. Then he read the these prayers that are read at the end of the confession, and then I stood up, we went back in the church, and then the whole liturgy started. I was there in a complete serenity. I was so peaceful in my heart and in my mind and in complete being of mine that I couldn't really recognize myself. And at the end of the Holy Liturgy, I have communed after many, many years in my life. And at the very end, when everything was finished, I have kissed the hand of this old priest, and I told him, goodbye, Father Joseph, pray for me. I hope I'll see you again. And he said, goodbye, my child. Be careful, take care of yourself. And then, since this little church was not far away from my home, I had taken a walk towards my apartment, and I was like a little child that just came from a warm bath. I was like just freshly bathed, like when a mother washes his child. I felt like this. And I was walking completely peaceful. It was, everything was so beautiful all around me. And there was a very special effect, if I can say it this way. I hope you will forgive me my Indian English. It was like I was walking down the street and there was a light all over me, but not right in front of me. I couldn't see this light, but this light was all over, on the verge of my sight, on the very verge, on the very border of my eyes, of my seeing field. Everything was shining, but around me. And I was going like through the tunnel of the light. It was not, of course, that intense. Somebody can think that I was, I don't know, on the completely elevated in some uncreated light. No, but definitely it was some beautiful, fine, subtle light. Everything was shining around me as I was walking down the street. And then I have realized, definitely I have understood, what is it, what they call the ultimate, how they say this in English, humility. But not really humility, but complete serenity of complete human being. Complete peace, ultimate peace, and entrance into the new life. So I have realized how important is repentance, how important is confession, how important is communion on the Holy Liturgy. God, do not let me never to forget this holy morning and everything that happened to me on this Holy Liturgy from the hand of that old, I will say, holy man, English priest of the Holy Orthodox Catholic Universal Church. God bless you all. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amfilohije.